But I've enjoyed every bit of it. You know. I was struggling with what to preach. And Sunday, we had Brother Cantu there. He presented to work and preached Sunday morning. And I told him there Sunday, the church, that I don't know what I'm preaching yet. I'm just glad I'm preaching last because I have time, you know. But I went over Sunday evening was, and what I do, if I can't find out what to preach, I just start reading. I just open the Bible up and just pray, open the Bible up, and then just start reading. And that's what I do. And when I prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, I don't, everything I think of, you shut me down on. So I don't know what to do. And it, you know me, I'm panicking. I mean, I'm fixing to leave on Tuesday. It's really hard to get a message together and write it while you're listening to other people preach. Because then you get all kinds of notes all mixed in there. But I opened it up to Luke. So if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. You know, this has been a very, very good conference. The Word of God has been preached. It's been preached straight. It's been preached honestly. Sometimes it's been preached hard. But it's what the Word of God said. So that's, we need to preach it that way. It needs to be preached that way. What I want to talk about tonight is the parable of the sower. Okay? But I want to look at this in two ways. Okay? So let me get my glasses out so I can read it. In Luke chapter 8, we'll start reading. Well, reading verse 4, it says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. And Lord, we know, you know that we're tired. You know that it's been a wonderful time, Lord. But you know that these bodies that we have are weak, Lord. And they get tired and they get wore out. And then we're full, Lord. You know all of this about us, Lord, that, Lord, but we just ask that you would help us to wake up and help us to hear your word tonight, Lord. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for these men that came and brought the word that you gave to them, that they were willing to stand up and say some of the hard things, Lord. And we just ask that you would help us to hear all of these things, Lord, and help us to, as we go home in the next days and weeks, that we would re-listen to these messages, Lord, that we would re-watch them. Lord, that we would study them, follow them out in your word, Lord. Approve them true in our own hearts and minds. And Lord, as the sister sang the song, Lord, would you please change us, Lord. Rearrange our lives. Help us to put the things down that trap us so much in this world. Lord, and help us to be what you want us to be. Lord, and we ask, Lord, just please save someone, Lord. Lord, save all the lost that are here, not just one. Lord, save them all. We know you can. Lord, we just thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. In the pulpit at home, we keep a box of Kleenexes in there. And if you know me, you know why. But, so this parable of the sower. Okay, notice in verse 5, a sower went out. A sower. What's a sower? It's not a sower, a person that sows seed. or sows cloth, but he sows seed. He had a purpose. He went out to sow his seed. You know, I don't know how many of y'all have been to, or most of y'all have probably been to 12 Rhine, but back there in the field, there's some fence line. I'm trying to think east, west, north, but if you walk out my back door, it's to the left. So back over there, I guess that'd be south, wouldn't it? That'd be the south side. Okay. Yeah, back over there, we cleared that fence row a couple years ago, I guess. I mean, a couple years ago. We cleared that fence row, and then it started growing its way back. So me and the boys go out there every year, a couple times a year, and trim back those trees that are trying to grow back on our property there. And we keep it mowed and all that, but it was just a bunch of dirt and things back there. And so I talked to some of the guys in the church, and they told me what seed to get, because I don't know anything about sowing seed. I don't know anything about that. So they told me to get, told me what seed to get. That it'll grow in, because it's a shady area and it's a sunny area, both, you know, right there. They said, this is what seed you get. It have fertilizer in it. It'll do good. So, okay. So I got the seed out there, and I had a thing. I started to bring a thing tonight because it was, you know, you did this with it and it sowed seed, but I figured there'll be something in it. And then the people that clean the church will be all over me. So I didn't bring it. But, you know, you walk around, you do this with it, right? And it sows. In these days, with the sowing of this seed, they didn't have that little contraption. So what they did is they just brought their hand in. Have you ever, and I planted seed this way in a garden where you just, you know, dropped it along like this, you know. I don't know what I was planting. I was a little kid. My grandpa showed me how to do it, so I did it. But you don't put the seed in special places. But my point with that grass was I wanted it to grow over here in the shady area and get rid of all the dirt. That's what I wanted it to do, to cover up all the dirt. It didn't grow there. I planted a seed there. I put fertilizer there. I did everything like I did over here on the grass. It didn't grow there. Some of it tried. But there were so many weeds and so many other things growing up in there, I guess it choked it like it says here. But it got, I mean, the grass out in the grass, it's lush. It's good grass. You got to slow the mower down now to mow through that. But when the sower goes out and he sows seed, he doesn't just pick where it goes. He throws it. He throws it out there. And Brother Bowen talked about going out and just spreading the word of God. That's what this sower's doing. He's going out there and he is spreading this. But look at what happens here. He goes out with a purpose and he sowed. But some of the seed, it says here, it fell by the wayside. That means it fell on the road. It fell on the sidewalk. It fell where people walked. It was hard ground. There was no ground. It was like concrete type thing. And it fell on that, and the fowls came and took it away. These first two here, one fell on the wayside, and the fowls devoured it. And it says in verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away. So here, when it fell on this, in verse 6, when the seed fell on the rock, it sprung up. But what happened to it? It withered away because it lacked moisture. In Mark, this same parable is mentioned in Mark chapter 4 and in Matthew chapter 13. In both of those, and I was struggling, do I want to go over there and read this? Or I want to read all three of these? And I decided not to read all three of them. I'll just read this one. And I'll just tell you about in Mark and Matthew, it says here about this one that when it fell in verse 6, it lacked moisture. It says that it, because it was there was no root. Therefore, it died. Because when the sun came up and it scorched it because there was no root in it. These first two people here, these are people. Understand these are four different people where that seed is sowed. When we go out and we witness to people, we tell people about the Lord, we're not in control of what happens to that seed.
Amen.
We're not. Just like I sowed that grass seed. If it was up to me, no more grass would have grown on the grass. I guess, really and honestly, I probably shouldn't have put seed there. But I just went out and just turned the handle, and it just went everywhere. You know, But I wanted to grow over here where the dirt was at. Not much of it grew there. But we're not in control of where the seed goes and what the seed does. Our job, the sower's responsibility, is to throw the seed. That's his responsibility. And that's what we're to do. These first two here, verse 5 and verse 6, these people heard the same word. All the same seed has been planted in all four scriptures. All four people received the exact same seed. But understand, the first one was hard-hearted. Didn't even get it. The seed didn't even get to grow. And the devil came in and snatched it out. So how do you know that? This is one of the I like the parables because I like some of the parables. Some of them are difficult. Some of them are kind of hard. But then there's some of them that God gives us the interpretation to. People argue about those that we don't have an interpretation to. They don't argue about this one. Why? Christ said what it means. Amen. He tells us. So over here in verse 9, we see the evident what the disciples ask him, saying, what might this parable be? I'm so glad that the disciples asked him about some of these parables so he could tell us the interpretation to the parable. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Did you know that it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God? That's why the people in this world look at us. You tell people at work that you're going to go spend a weekend at church, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You're going to hear 14 preachers. You know what they're going to think about you? You've lost your mind. Because they don't even want to come hear one. It's hard enough to get them to come hear one. There was a guy that I knew when I lived in Missouri that he talked about. We were talking about going to church, and he went to church. So I invited him to come to church. And he said, well, what kind of church you go to? I said, I go to a Baptist church. Oh, okay, well, that might be okay. He said, because, see, I've been to some of these churches, that, man, they're boring. They're really boring. He said, my church is like a rock concert. And I said, well, then you won't like my church. You won't like coming to where I go. Because in your mind, we're boring. But we're given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. And that's all the Lord's work. He does that. He gives us the understanding. It took me a long time to understand a simple concept. It's a beautiful concept, but it's so simple. God does not tell you to understand anything in His Word. Did you know that? He does not tell you to understand it. What does He tell you to do? Believe it. And you know what He'll do? If you will just believe it, you know what He'll do? He'll open your understanding. That's His job. That's what He does. And that's what He's telling the apostles. Look, I'll tell you this, but I'm going to have to open your understanding. It's given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Verse 11, he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Amen. And that's what we are to give out to the world. Just as Brother Bowen said, we don't go out there and argue doctrine with them. They don't need doctrine. They need Jesus Christ. Yeah. And that's what we give them. We give them the gospel. Jesus Christ, when He came preaching, He did not come preaching the doctrines. He came preaching, repent and believe the gospel. That's what He came preaching. Now, He did tell about the doctrines and all that, but I'm not getting into that. But verse 12, He says, those by the wayside, they that hear, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You know, it's amazing that people can sit through services that are lost. I say it's amazing, but I was one of these. Sit through a message on salvation that Christ came and died, and it's a message that, man, you can picture it. All of what Christ done for you. And Now I sit there and I weep through those messages. But I think about when I was lost, and I would sit there and I would think about something else. You know, and I didn't want it. I didn't want it. Not until that the Lord opened my heart to it. And so those are they, those that by the wayside, they heard. They hear. Do you see that? They hear the word of God.
Right.
They hear the message. But what do? They just sit there. And then the devil comes and stakes that seed so it won't grow in them. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear, they too hear the same word. They receive the word with joy. But look, and these have no root. There's nothing there. They receive it with joy. Oh, Christ died for me, and they come forward. Then they make a profession of faith. I have known people that has made professions of faith. They have been baptized, members of churches. And then it's not long. They quit coming. It's not long. They go right back to where they were at. Why? What happened to them? Why did they leave? Why is it that they... It's funny that you can have people that they claim to be saved. They make professions of faith. They want everything we've got, but yet they're always too busy. You know, you tell them, hey, we have a conference coming up. Oh, yeah. Well, when is it? You tell them when it is. Oh, yeah, man, I got stuff planned that week. You know what? So did I.
Right.
But I don't anymore.
Right.
Now I have one plan this week. You know, somebody said... Trying to think where it was at. Brother Cantu said it in their Sunday, that it's not a matter of time. Having enough time, it's a matter of priorities. Our priorities are all messed up. Their priorities are messed up. But this is one here that has no root. It says, which for a while believe. And in time of temptations fall away. There's no root there. There's no way for that seed to really grow. In Matthew and Mark, it talks about the sun coming out and scorches it. Because it has no root, it can't sustain itself. Verse 14 says, and that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard. And I'm going to keep pointing that out because all three of these hear the same word.
Amen.
They hear the same seed. They go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection. Understand the first two in verse 12 and verse 13, those are lost. Said, so, yeah, but then verse 13, the seed grew. Yes, but it had no root.
Here you go.
No root to sustain it. Nothing on the inside. They believed, but it was a physical. Whenever I was lost, did you know that I believed Christ died on the cross? I believed it. You know why? I was raised, taught it. I could tell you how to be saved, and yet I was lost. I tried witnessing. And that was one of the most uncomfortable things I ever did in my entire life. When I was lost, that is. Trying to tell, because I was trying to win my way to heaven. I was trying to earn salvation. I knew how to be saved. I knew the words. I knew all of that. But understand, it was not a belief in here. It was a belief up here.
Right.
That's it. We have a lot of kids. We raise them in church. And they have head knowledge of this word of God. But it's not good enough.
Amen.
It's not enough. They need Jesus Christ in their heart. They need to be made alive. And He's the only one that can make them alive.
Amen.
He's it. These first two are lost. But these next two, verse 14 and 15, they're saved. Verse 14 is one that is saved. They have a root. But you look at this, the cares of this world have choked them. How many people do you know in churches that fall away and they don't come anymore? And they're saved. We don't know, but they're saved. But they get so caught up in the things of this world.
Right.
The world is full of traps. It's full of beautiful things that will trick you, trap you, and keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. I'm trying to think of what the thing is about sin. Sin costs you more than you're willing to pay, keeps you longer than you're willing to stay, and I don't remember what the other word is, but I can't remember it. But I got it going. I thought I had it, but I didn't. But sin is more. It affects you more than you ever think it would. Than you ever think it would. These are saved in verse 14. But yet, they have no fruit to perfection. Then we have verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience.
Amen.
These are those, and you've seen someone that is saved. The Lord saves them and their life changes. Their what they want to talk about changes. You've seen somebody. I've seen people that were members of churches, members of the church I was a member of, that they worked in the church and they were saved. The Lord saved them. We had a conference one time and we were praying for someone else that said they were lost and wanted to be saved. And then Mandy, her last name is Thomas now, then it was Mandy Alls, leaned forward and told someone, said, "I'm saved." And he turned around and said, "I know." And she said, "No, right now." And he jumped up, "Woohoo!" You know, it was fantastic. When we ought to get excited. She was a member of the church. But you know what? She changed.
Amen.
I remember when Clarissa Duke was saved. She was a member of the church. She changed. I grew up with Clarissa. I grew up with her. She changed. Tell you, what people talk about. They come to church a lot of times and we'll talk about all kinds of things that happen in the world. All kinds of things that happen to us, right? But a person that's in God's Word that has a desire to serve Him, what do they want to talk about?
Right.
Tell you what, you pay attention to what you want to talk about the most. That's your love. You pay attention to it. And if what you want to talk about the most is not God's Word, you better do some serious searching. Because your love is in this world. I tell you. A person that's newly saved, that's just been saved, they'll come in and that man, they'll ask questions and they're on fire. What happens to us? Why is it that we get older and we get more grounded in the Word, and then we come to church and we create habits, don't we? We create, just like the brother talked about, we come in, we know where our seat is at. You know, I was telling Trish, do you know where we sat at 12 Ryan? Well, I usually sit up here now, but when we first came, the fifth row back. And if you look, if you count the pews, the rows, where we're sitting right now, fifth row back. We have a habit, don't even know it. You know, it's just the other side. But that's what we do. We get in such a rut that we keep doing that. But I want you to think about this. The sower sowed the seed. Now I'm going to do something a little bit different, okay? We all heard these messages, right? Most of you have been here the whole time. You've heard these messages. Do you remember them? Do you remember the messages that were preached? Here's what we're going to do. I've been taking notes for this purpose. And we're going to go down through here. Just real quick, I'm not going to preach them again. I'm just going to read kind of what some of them didn't give their title, so I just titled it myself. Okay? Brother Hugin preached, "Will you obey the Lord? Is God's word in your heart?" Brother Gordon preached, "The word and the voice." And I put, "Will you be a voice crying in the wilderness? Behold, the Lamb of God." Brother Graber preached, "Will you walk with God in the fear of the Lord?" Brother Ryan Austin preached, "Saved by grace and nothing else." Brother Glisk preached, "Take heed to warnings, signs, because temptations will come." Brother Cummins preached, "True worship and what it is to worship God. Will you worship God?" Brother Lafferty preached, "The cost of compromise." Brother Clark, "Who has the authority?" The local New Testament church has the authority. Brother Wilder preached, how the lost come to Christ for salvation. Brother Cantu preached, wait on the Lord and hope in the Lord. Brother Kavanaugh, "Who are you trying to please? Are you pleasing the Lord?" Brother Bowen, "Why stand ye gazing? We are to go out there and witness." Brother Farmer, and you just heard him, "It's time to wake up. The end days are here." You've heard these words that have been preached. You want me to tell you what has happened here this week? The seed has been sown. So I want to ask you a question. What kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you? Because all four of these are people. All four of these ground representations are people. There's lost here. And they're saved here. There's some here that haven't blinked an eye. Some here this word has not affected. The only reason they're here is because they've been brought. There's some here that it's affected them some. It's bothered them. But it won't amount to anything. I hate to say that. And I don't mean it won't amount to anything, because I know God's word will never return void. I know He'll use it. But there's some here that are saved. And that's who I want to focus on, you that are saved. What are you going to do with the word that's been preached? We talked about, and it's been mentioned, that it's been convicting messages. Some of the messages have been hard to hear, hard to listen to. But what are you going to do with them? Which ground are you? Are you the thorny ground that's so caught up in the things of this world that you took off for the conference? But as soon as this is over and you go home, you wake up tomorrow morning and go right back to the thorns and thistles. What are you going to do? I want you to seriously think about it. You've been here for 3 days. This is the 14th message. That's a lot of messages. I mean, that's 14 hours, if not a little more, of God's word that you've listened to in 3 days. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know what we've done? We've turned the radios off. We've turned the TVs off. You know why? We haven't had time. We haven't had time. And you know what? That's pretty good. You know why the Lord blesses when you're here? You know why if you're saved and you're in a, when you go to a conference, you know why you feel closer to the Lord? Because you're giving Him more time than you ever have. What is the Lord, what are you required to give the Lord every day? I don't know the amount of minutes. I used to say 2 hours and 40 minutes, but then I was told that was wrong. So I haven't figured it up yet. But you get 24 hours a day. Every day, 24 hours. You do the math. How much time every day is your tithe to the Lord? Because tithe, folks, is not just in money. It's in your time, too.
You're right.
And if you don't read your Bible and pray and give that over 2 hours to the Lord, He ain't going to bless it. You may say, "Well, yeah, but I read one chapter every day." It ain't what He requires. You owe Him a lot.
Amen.
You think about it. If you take your tithe and you say, "Well, I'm not going to give it to Him today," and you owe him 2 hours. I'm going to mess up here a little bit. You're going to have to do the math. I'm going to mess up and I ain't going to do the math. But you owe Him 2 hours. And you say, I'm not doing it. Tomorrow I'll do 4 hours. It ain't 4 hours, folks. You owe him 5% of the 2 hours. You owe him usury. You owe him interest. If you take your tithe and you owe him $100 and you say, I can't pay it this week, I'm going to pay it next week, $200. It'd be $205 is what it would be next week if my math is correct in that. Because if we defer to pay his tithe, then we owe him 5% of what we deferred to pay. I'm getting off track there, but I'm just saying we owe him time. And that's why the Lord blesses. That's why we feel closer to the Lord. When we're in his word, we're here. This is where we're supposed to be. We ought to be here. And he blesses when we're following his word. He blesses when we're putting ourselves in places to hear. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Why is it and how is it that somebody could sit here, be saved, hear the word of God, hear all of these convicting messages, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to ask you to do this for me. I'm going to pause right here and I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Okay? I'm going to ask every one of you, you pray for me that the Lord change me, that I not leave here and go back to the way I was. I'm not saying I was wrong and bad. Don't look at me that way. But I'm asking you a favor. Because I want the Lord to rearrange my life. I want to be closer to Him. And I need your prayers. I could privately go ask all these preachers. And honestly, that's what I wanted to do. But you know what? I want you to change too. So I'm showing you how. Ask for prayer. Amen, brother. And it's not just asking for prayer, but we pray for me that I do it. Amen. Pray for me that I live it. Pray for me that I be what He wants me to be. Amen. Okay? Because I don't want to be in the thorns and the thistles. I don't want this world to choke what I've heard this week. I don't want that. Why is it that the world would choke what we have, what we've heard? Look in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. We're going to do this backwards, just the way it was given, because that seed that fell on thorny ground. Verse 9 says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know who this is talking about, verse 9? Verse 9 is not talking about a lost person. Verse 9 is talking about one that has been purged from his old sins. One that has been saved is what verse 9 is talking about. But they've got wrapped up in the world just like that seed that fell among thorny grounds. They've got wrapped up in the world and they've not added. What were they supposed to be adding to? If you go back here to verse 5. Yeah, verse 5, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So look, this person in verse 9 had faith, but they didn't add to it. That's why the thorns and the thistles, that's why I'm asking you to pray for me. We need to pray for one another that when we leave here, that this world not take what we've heard from us. Because don't you kid yourself and think that, oh, it won't do it to me. Yes, it will. In a heartbeat. It'll take that word from you. But in verse 5, and besides this, now this is what the one that fell on good ground, Lord saved them. And here's what they did. You've seen people saved and man, they're on fire for the Lord. They read, they study, they keep asking you questions. Then they grow, they start singing in the church. They start singing in specials. And they're the ones that comes up to the pastor and says, is there anything I can do? I don't care what it is. I don't care. I'll do anything. anything I can do. They just want to be used. That's this one here that, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, look at that, if they be in you and abound, if you add to your faith all of these things, and these things be in you, but not just in you, but they abound, roll over the sides. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor what? Unfruitful. And what was it that the one that the seed fell on good ground? They were not unfruitful, were they? Why? Because they added to their faith. Where'd they get the faith? God gave it to them. Where'd you get your faith? I didn't have any faith until He gave it to me. I could not believe until He gave me, He woke me up. He made me alive and gave me the ability to believe. That's why we say salvation is not of me. I had no part to do with my salvation. I had no part in it. I tried. It wasn't until that night that He saved me. Well, look, this one here, if you add to your faith, if you study, you read, you grow. Look, you can come to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. You can come to church for Sunday school. You can come to church to every conference and not grow.
Right.
You know why? Because the main growing is not done here. I'm sorry. It's good to be in church. You ought to be in church. You need to be in church. But your main growing is done in your personal studies. Because if you're not going to read at home, you're not going to keep it all week long. You're not going to add to anything, because time the next service comes around, you done lost what you had. So you might grow a little bit and then shrink back down. Grow a little bit, shrink back down. You know, you got to do your own personal studies at home. I'm a firm believer in that. You know why? Because it took me a long time to realize it doesn't matter what my dad believes. My dad was my pastor. It does not matter what he believes. You know what? It doesn't matter what the church believes. I need to know what I believe.
Amen.
If you don't know what you believe, what does it matter?
Right.
I mean, I would have conversations with people at work and they would ask me questions. But you know what I would tell them? I would tell them what my dad believed. Or if I didn't know what he believed, I would tell them I didn't know. I'll study that. And you know what I would do? Call my dad. I'd ask my dad. He caught on to it. You know what he began to tell me? Study it. And then you tell me what you find, and I'll tell you if that's what I believe or not. He can be irritating sometimes. But it was one of the best things that he could tell me. Was because I had to begin to study. I had to begin to learn some things. And I began to find out that, you know what, it doesn't matter what my dad believes or what the church believes. You know what matters? You know what really matters? It's what this says.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
That's what matters. That's why I'm asking you to not just listen to these messages again. Not just watch them again, but search them. Take the verses that were mentioned. Did you know on any time that you play a message or you watch a message over again on your computer or however you do it, do you know there's two little lines like run up and down? You know what those are for? It's a pause button. You can hear the scripture and pause it. And you can turn there. And then it's got a little sideways triangle on it. You can push that again and play it, and you can listen to it just like being here. What you can do, and you can go over that and prove that true. I imagine every one of these preachers will say, tell you the same thing. If you do that and you find that it's wrong, you know what? I want to know.
Right. Amen.
Because just because I say it doesn't mean it's right. What matters is what's in God's Word. And if I ever tell you anything that's wrong, I want to be corrected. I need to be corrected. But there's only one thing I ask you to do in that. Do it lovingly.
Amen.
That's all I ask. But here, we add to our faith. These that add to their faith makes them, he says, makes them, they'll never be barren nor unfruitful. But look, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know divide the scriptures rightly? I'm trying to think of what it says there in 2 Timothy, but I can't think of what it says. You want to know how to do that? It's by adding these things, studying, reading God's Word, proving His Word true in your heart. That's what it is. But you look at this. We read all of that, but verse 9, I'm going to read that again. It says, but he that lacketh these things, he that hasn't added to their faith, is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Look, don't be, verse 9, don't be the soil with thorns and thistles in it. You're going to be one of the two. You're going to be. You're either going to be good ground, or you're going to have thorns and thistles in your life. Which are you going to be? It says in verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. That word diligence is, I mean, that means purposeful actions. One of the things that I miss since I hurt my back, people look at me weird when I say this, that what I like is manual labor. When I was a kid, I didn't care for manual labor. But as I got into it and started plumbing, man, I got to where I liked being tired at night. I enjoyed it. It was good. Working out in the heat, working out in the cold, I enjoyed that manual labor. And people would look at me and they'd think, man, you're crazy. You like it? I loved it. I did. But that manual labor is being diligent. That's what, not manual labor, but manual labor in God's Word.
Amen.
That's what that is. Purposeful action. It takes sweat. It's hard. It's when it's not convenient for you. That's what that diligent means. To give diligence, to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Look at that, man. We've heard the Word of God has been taught this week. These last 3 days. 14 messages. What are you going to do with them? What are you going to do? What kind of ground did the seed land in your heart? Only you can answer that. But I don't want you to just give an answer. I call it analyze yourself. Ask why. Why do I think I'm that seed? Study yourself. Peel back the parts. Make sure the answer you're given is a truthful, real answer. Because when you dig deep in there, a lot of times the first answer you give usually is not the right answer. It's the right answer, what you think people want to hear. But it's not the real, truthful answer for your life. So which soil are you? So I appreciate the time, Brother Matt.